So before I grew up and became a preacher, I was a preacher's kid. And I kind of lived up to that reputation. To the fact that even now, at 42 years of age, if I go back to the Glenwood Church of Christ in Tyler, Texas, at least one of a handful of former teachers that were my Sunday school teachers when I was a child will say, "Well, do you still hate me? Do you like me now?" Because apparently I had a way of letting Sunday school teachers know that I did not particularly care for them. Another family friend that I stayed with one time, she babysat me when my parents were out at a dinner, says that I told her, "I don't like you, and I don't like any of your dinners," which I thought was as harsh a critique as I could bring, kind of going for the jugular. So I was known for being a strong-willed kid. And our church building had an auditorium kind of like this, except with no external light coming in. It was really dark and boxy with dark wood paneling and the pews going back just like this. And after church, once the lights were turned off, it was the perfect room for hide and seek underneath the pews in the dark. And our classrooms were set up to also hold a school. And so you'd have a classroom and then kind of two hallways, and in the middle of the classes were little bathrooms. So you could be in one hallway hiding in a classroom, and then you could sneak through the little middle bathroom and all of a sudden be on the total other hall. So one day my parents were ready for us to leave church and go to lunch. We were some of the last ones to leave, as the preacher's family often is. And I was not done playing. So I hid from my parents. And I would just work my way through those dark halls, and if they got close, then I'd jump through a bathroom to the other hallway. So finally, I can hear them say, "Well, I guess we can't find him. I guess he's gone. Well, we're just going to have to go on without him." And I hear the door shut. And I work my way out of the dark hall, and I find my way to the front entrance of the church, and I look out, and I watch my parents' car driving around our education building, a separate building, around the corner. And I think they've actually left me. And I haul out of the church building, and I sprint with hot tears running down my cheek. "Mom, Dad!" Thinking they're leaving me. I'm like, "No!" And I get around the corner, and they're parked. And I open the door, and I get that stare. You know that stare. And my mom goes, "Get in the car!" And I get in the car, and I'm just like... And my parents give me the, "Don't you ever do that again." Okay. You think I would have learned the time before when we went to a friend's house after church and I didn't want to go home and I hid under the bed, not knowing that my feet were sticking out, and my dad pulled me out and there was a metal hook hanging on the bed. So if you've wondered how I got that scar over my eye, that's from not wanting to go home from a friend's house after church. As a strong-willed kid, not wanting to cooperate with my parents when it was time to go, I learned an important lesson. I still, to this day, remember how scary it is to feel like you've been left behind. I can still see that car turning the corner and feeling the terror of abandonment. Sometimes when you get what you want, you don't want what you get, huh? Well, I think about that abandonment in this text from Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 11. It's the ascension of Jesus. He's died, risen from the dead, and now the risen Lord is about to ascend to heaven. And the disciples had come together and they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? And he replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them, and they said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The disciples have marveled over all that they've seen and all that they've experienced in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And they assume now is the time that God's kingdom will come and God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The risen Lord is going to make things right once and for all. No more suffering. No more persecution at the hands of the Romans. No more death. No more despair. Jesus has overcome it all, and he's going to make it right once and for all. God's will be done. The risen Lord will rule on earth. Right, Jesus? Is it time? And instead of it being the day that God's kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, they remember it as the day that we're left behind. Jesus says, no. The timing of when God's kingdom will come once and for all on earth as it is in heaven, that's God's business. That's not for you to worry about as my followers. That's not your department. I'm ascending back to the Father. But you will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses. So Jesus ascends into heaven, and they're stuck just gazing, awestruck. Left to deal with their sense of abandonment. And with a wrestling with God's absence. Some 2,000 years later, it's a struggle we still wrestle with. How do you deal with sometimes feeling like God has abandoned us? That Jesus is no longer present and no longer near. And so worship is one of the rhythms we hold on to. Because we can acknowledge that sense of absence and encounter in fresh ways God's presence. And we can come and hear a word from the Lord. We can come and offer prayers to the Father. And we can come with our hands empty and have them filled with the body and the blood of Jesus given for us. We can sing songs that help us get our story straight and remember who we are. Our life of worship is essential for us Because it's often where we draw near to the heart of God. While we wait for God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. But Jesus says, I want you to do a lot more than wait. And I want you to do more than just worship. No, you will not be left alone. The power of God will be at work in you and through you and among you, because my Spirit will come upon you. And the very Spirit of God will be poured out on your life together as it has been poured out in mine, Jesus says. And you will be my witnesses. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and even further out into Samaria and even all the way to the ends of the earth. He says, as my followers, your role, your job is to testify. Tell others what you've seen and what you've heard, what you've encountered through me. And so what will happen in the book of Acts is that the Holy Spirit of God will be poured out. And Jesus' disciples will quit looking up and gazing into the heavens, waiting for Christ to return, and instead they will begin to look around. And they'll look around and see God's Spirit at work among them. And they'll see opportunities to enter into relationship with people and to share good news. And the good news of Jesus will change lives throughout Jerusalem. And all of these Jews, the holy people of God, will be brought to Christ. And then it will transform the Jews to the point that they're open to fellowshipping with Gentiles. And it will reach new races and new regions and new peoples. And the Word of God will continue to take territory as followers of Christ testify to what they've seen and what they've heard. Jesus. They will bring news. Fresh news, good news, a word we've come to call gospel. That's still the mission and the call of the people of God. We are to be witnesses. And to share with others what we see and what we hear and what we know about the love of God in Jesus Christ. That's not a role that's just confined to somebody on a church staff. It's not something that you have to go through a certain course in. There's not a certain how-to manual for how you become a witness. No, you open your heart and you open your mind and you open your eyes to the love of God at work in the world. And then you open your mouth. I think the call to be witnesses has become hard for us. because that sounds like evangelism. And there's so much packed into that word now. So much baggage. You know, I'm the kid that in Little League, when we had to sell chocolate bars in the neighborhood to help fund Little League, I didn't want to go door to door and even share with people that I knew loved me, hey, I'm playing Little League, will you buy a candy bar? So my mom would just buy the box of candy bars, and there was our $20 contribution to Little League. Does being a witness mean I have to be a used car salesman for Jesus? Does it mean I have to come up with a sales pitch and try to manipulate people towards my will and towards my outcome, regardless of whether or not I know them or not? Does it mean I have to be aggressive and argumentative? Does it mean I have to win something? All that baggage is packed into the word evangelism. The word evangelism comes from the Greek, euangelion. Euangelion is the announcement of good news. That's what Jesus wants us to testify to. And a lot of times, most of the time, if not all of the time, it won't start by opening your mouth. It starts when we open our heart to other people. And when we open our eyes to see what's going on in the lives of other people. And when we stop and open our ears to hear their story and hear the cries of their heart. And when we have a heart for people and eyes to see people and ears to hear people. Then we're able to open our mouth and share with them a word of good news, of hope, of love. A word about Jesus. Jesus says, my spirit will be poured out on you so that you have a heart for people that need Jesus. And you'll have eyes to see who needs Jesus. And you'll have ears to hear those that are crying out for the love of Jesus. And then you will be the ones who can testify that you have seen and you have heard and you have known and you have experienced a love like no other love. A love from a God who so loved the world that he gave his only son, that nobody would die, but all would have life, true life, real life, eternal life in Jesus Christ. It's time for the people of God to testify. It's time for us to share the good news. And so over the next couple months, we're going to spend some time in the book of Acts exploring what it means to live out this call from Jesus to be witnesses. And I believe we will experience an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we will have eyes to see how the Spirit is at work in the lives of our neighbors. And it may not start with a word out of our mouths. It might start with a stirring in our hearts. It might start in an opening of our eyes. It might start in a clearing of our ears. But at some point it will become a word out of our mouths. A word of love. A word of hope. An announcement of some news. Boy, couldn't we all use a little good news today? We're the good news people. We have a word of love, a word of hope. We don't know when God's kingdom will come in its fullness and when God's will be done once and for all on earth as it is in heaven. But we do know that we'll catch glimpses of it if we open ourselves up to God's Spirit and allow God to work through us, through our relationships, to share a word of love. Jesus wants to know today, Columbus, can I get a witness? Let's pray. Jesus, we gather today to proclaim that we are not abandoned and that we are not left behind, that we are not alone. Your Spirit is poured out upon us to work in us and through us and among us for the sake of your kingdom. Give us eyes to see how you are at work in the world. Lead us in joining you in that work. Open our hearts that we might have a heart for those that need to experience your love. Open our eyes so that we can see their need for you. Open our ears so we can hear their cries. And open our mouths that we might testify that you see them and you hear them. And your heart is wide open to welcome them home. We pray this morning, Jesus, confessing that you can get a witness here and that we will testify to the good news of your great love. It's in your name we pray. Amen. We gather to proclaim that this is God's world and that God intends to make creation right and to bring all people to himself, and that the truth about each and every one of us is that we are children of God and that all of us have a seat at the table of the Lord. If you need to pull up a chair today, if you need to take Christ on in baptism, if you need to confess sin, if you need prayers of comfort and hope, however you need to respond today, come and receive the good news of God's love as we stand and sing.